Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
You can do all the introductions if you like.
No, it's okay.
You know that's staying in the start. All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop episode 100. I put 153. Matt, I have no idea what number we're at now. We're just such a big number, I've kind of lost track. You'll figure it out when you look at the episode notes for this one. Actually, kind of unusually, we're actually doing this the correct order this week, so I haven't actually chatted with you, and we talked about quickly off air. I haven't really talked to you much at all this week, so how are you?
I'm very good. We spent most of the week at the beach, Graham, so, you know, there's no signal out there for that, and, you know, some of us have been busy working, you know, that thing you do, but these teachers, they get so much time off of you. They don't work or nothing half the time, so... I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, of course. Teachers are amazing, and they deserve a pay.
I am making the most of my last 2 weeks, I think it is. So I was like, oh, shoot, I better do something. Like, it was 3 weeks, and I was like, I better start doing something a little bit more.
I'll talk
about at some point as well. But, yeah, I've been trying to enjoy the holiday, which is, I guess, what holidays are for, right?
Absolutely. When did the boys go to Ohio?
2 weeks time. That's why they go to Ohio, because that's kind of when I have to be back. My wife's back at work, and then otherwise they would be unsupervised. So yes,
they couldn't do it last year, could they?
They could do it, but they didn't need to, because at that point we didn't have to go back into the building either. So it was a little bit
back to normal though, is she?
Something approaching that. All right, let's go ahead and introduce our guest. This one, like I say, this one we've been kind of excited about, Matt. Normally we've got the kind of thing, okay, we're going to talk about the pot. We've got something a little different this week, so I'm going to go straight from the Twitter bio. The next big wrestling craze to take the whole world by storm, a cross between wrestling and comic books, let the unreal wrestling experience start now. That really, once you read something like that, it's like, ooh, you've got my interest straight away, so I know we're dying to find out more. So we've got the creator of URWE with us today. Paul, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing really good, thanks. Very busy at the moment, which I think is a good thing.
So, yeah, that introduction kind of really got piqued our interest. When we talked on Twitter, same sort of thing. We know you've got some big things happening towards the end of this month. So, yeah, go ahead and tell us all about UREW. Tell us about the magazine. Tell us about all those things. Let us know a little bit more about what you're working on right now.
Yeah, it's a project called URWE Wrestling. It stands for the Unreal Wrestling Experience. And it's basically a fictional wrestling experience that is basically going to be part social media, part on a website, part comic book style. And it's basically going to be mostly comic book based.
Uh-huh.
Going to be just showing wrestling that you're used to, but comic book style. And we're going to have a lot of fan interaction where the fans can decide what the matches are going to be, stipulations, certain wrestlers that will be able to fight for certain titles and all that sort of stuff. So it's all going to be very interactive, and it's going to be something that's forever changing. And we've got over 400 fictional wrestlers ready to show everybody, and hopefully they'll enjoy what we can do.
Huh. And I saw there was something, I remember reading through your Twitter feed, there's something about you requesting music as well. So does that mean it's taking, obviously that wouldn't work in print form as well. So how does that fit into the equation?
Well, we're currently doing a, we set up a thing with Electric Music Magazine, which you can find at One Electric Mag on Twitter. And the music magazine that specifically looks at unsigned music artists and solely develops them and their product and tries to build what they do. And when we decided to work with them, we wanted to get on board with that. So what our plan is that when we do our page on their magazine and we build the wrestlers through that, we will be giving all the wrestlers theme music, and when we print some of the storylines, there'll be music that you can listen to during the storylines. We got a guy called Joshua Lloyd who's doing our theme music, which will be coming out the day that we bring it out on the magazine on the 27th. And we're just going to try and use as many unsigned artists as we possibly can to build their music and us at the same time.
Hey, that's great. If you can get more people involved on these projects, I would say that. Kind of spread that net nice and wide, get as many people involved. Perfect. So this is coming out on the 25th. So, yeah, if you're listening on the day this releases, we're literally talking a couple of days afterwards, which is, it didn't sound like originally we were going to be able to get you in on July. So I'm really glad that we had this opportunity to kind of bring this forward. Matt, when I'm listening to this, this kind of sounds like the fun version of Dungeons & Dragons. Normally when you talk Dungeons & Dragons, I kind of switch off. When I hear this, I kind of think it's like role play, but it actually sounds the fun side.
First of all, Graham,
I couldn't resist taking a little
stop dig. Disrespecting Dungeons & Dragons. If you don't play it, don't knock it. You don't play anymore. This sounds right up my street. Absolutely. I'm very interested. I will be doing everything I can to be sharing this far and wide, for sure.
Thank you, guys.
Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. The question I have is, why has someone done it before? I'm just glad someone is. Just glad somebody is.
When you talk about it, it sounds like just such an obvious thing. You combine lots of different elements that people like, you put it all together with a wrestling base, and yeah, it makes perfect sense. So yeah, we're definitely interested to see how this project's going to develop, and yeah, for that reason, this was the perfect time to bring you in as a guest for this week. All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
As always, guests get to go first, though. So, Paul, what caught your eye in the positive light this week? What is your main good cop moment of the week?
I've got to go with AEW, and I've got to go with the build of Malakai Black.
Yeah.
I have to go with that. I think, obviously, they're very much taking, as we can see via what's going on social media at the moment with the whole Daniel Bryan CM Punk thing, they're very much taking the WWE wrestlers that you want to see, moving them over, and then going, look what you can actually do with these people. And I think was just out of this world, because I've got to give Jim Ross a credit here, because the guy got a lot of stick for his whole WWE Dynamite thing, and he got a lot of stick for that. But when that guy said, well, it must be due to the, I think it was like tropical thunders or whatever it was, and there was thunderstorms around, and that's what caused the lights to go out, and then they came on again, and there he was. I think it was just amazing, and I think hopefully they can just build him and make him into the star that he should have been when he was in the other company.
Yeah, like I'm nodding the whole time. Like the phrase that sort of resonated with me there the most was the kind of characters they could be. We're seeing all these people who, for some reason, WWE seems to think that the best thing they can do is leave them in catering, and then they come and bring them across to AEW. It gives them a fresh start, and it's making all the difference. Now, I also want to say though, it's true for other companies as well. It's not just the WWE to AEW thing. If you don't have something, then sure, let those wrestlers go. Let them go somewhere else where somebody wants to build on their ideas. And that's got to be better for everybody. Matt?
WWE wasn't doing anything with Aleister Black, and he's gone to AEW. As Paul mentioned, and I brought up a couple weeks ago, Jim Ross caught a lot of flack for the WWE Dynamite comment, which is not justified. I mean, my thoughts on Jim Ross still commentating aside, nobody deserves that sort of abuse the way he does it. And sometimes he can pull out a bag and do a great job, as Paul said. I would like to just add more praise for the decision to hire Malakai back. And that's a good thing. I'm a little bit rowing back on the Daniel Bryan and CM Punk thing, because it's either the worst kept secret or it ain't happening, guys.
And, I think one out of two. I think Bryan's going, but I don't think Punk is.
Yeah, because I don't think Punk is either. And Daniel Bryan's got a lot of loyalty to Vince, but he wants to wrestle New Japan, and that part of AEW. So.
Yeah. One other thing that relates to this, I just wanted to check. That's why I threw you back in, Matt, so I could look it up. Wrestling Perspectives podcast with Dennis Farrell and the guys over there, they actually interviewed Malakai Black yesterday as well. So they were promoting that. Go check that out on Twitch. Go check it out on YouTube. I haven't had a chance being down in wrestling yesterday and busy this morning. But that's one that I was going to say. They have some great interviews. And obviously, people like Malakai Black, people want to hear about that right now. Obviously, with that change from WWE to AEW. And I'll be very interested to hear his own personal thoughts as well. I'm sure they're going to ask him questions about that move.
Unquestionably, yes.
Ah, what you got for us?
Right. Slammiversary was a hit, but I'm not going to Slammiversary. I'm going to Money in the Bank, which was a fantastic
WWE event. Shocker.
I know. Shocker for WWE Mark. Shocker, I know, but... a lot of people saying that it was the best WWE pay-per-view this year. It was solid. It was solid, but it wasn't the best another year. It was probably the most anticipated due to having a full crowd back in. And as proven by the fact that what happened with the main event and the reaction that Cena got, which he hadn't had since 2005, phenomenal. Phenomenal. And as soon as that happened, we thought, okay, we're going to get the Cena Reigns thing that we were talking about. But then you had to fast forward to what Cena was doing throughout the week as well. It popped up on Raw, popped up on SmackDown, surprisingly turned up on NXT and NXT UK and flew across to NXT India at the same time. He was everywhere this week.
Oh, wow.
Surprised he wasn't there. He was everywhere this week. And all you talked about was Roman Reigns the whole time. And then... on SmackDown, comes out, does his promo, and Reigns eventually comes out. And I kept the latest flashback to that epic back and forth promo they had a couple of years ago, Cena and Reigns. You can find it online still, it's completely uncut. They really let it go uncut on YouTube, that's how good it was. Where Cena said to Reigns, it's called a promo, kid, you got to learn to do it. Fast forward now, and he knows how to do a promo, John. Don't worry about that one. We're not getting Cena versus Reigns. We're getting Reigns versus Balor. I'm all about this. And even if we don't get Reigns versus Balor at SummerSlam, we're getting it at some point. I'm all for that. That is, of course, if, as we are talking right now, Graham, Reigns isn't being pinned 1-2-3 by Dominic Mysterio.
You must be a little torn right now.
A little bit torn, bro. I will die on that hill, but to be fair, it wouldn't have been a good thing, a feel-good moment for it to happen. But I'd settle for Finn Balor winning the Universal Championship at SummerSlam.
Yeah, probably me too. Paul, thoughts on Money in the Bank and Cena's return?
Yeah, it was. I agree with you totally, Matt. It was a absolute. It was, well, I don't know whether it's because all the others have been rubbish, or whether it's the best of a bad lot. But Money in the Bank was one of them where loads of people wanted to see him, was very happy with. But the thing is, with the Cena return, it's like, okay, we had Cena return, and we thought this was going to happen, and he's, but it's like. Okay, and then I looked on Twitter, I think it was this morning, and saw the match between Cena and the Mysterios versus Reigns and the Usos, which was a dark match after the event went off.
Oh.
It was one of them where I went, hold on a second, that would have been a fantastic like main event. Not necessarily now, maybe a couple of weeks down the line. But that would have been something. Would have gone, you don't have to put the two together. Don't put Reigns near him. Cena tags him, Reigns disappears. He carries on, does what he does. But you could have had that and like built something amazing. But then instead, I saw it and I thought, nobody on telly got to see this. That was a bit, I thought that was a bit strange. Something that probably could have been a main event on SmackDown that everybody would have kind of sat and went, something good's going to happen here and really get into it.
Well, you got my interest now because I didn't know that story. Now, the question I do want to know, though, is who produced that video? Because if it's not WWE, then surely what they're doing is they're testing out what's this rivalry like so they can get an audience reaction to it.
I suspect this will be a main event on SmackDown in the coming weeks for sure because it's too good to not put on TV, as you say, Paul.
Yeah, it was a very good match. And I mean, it was one of them where I think it was... Maybe if it was put on by WWE, it was a bit of a, you need to come to the live events because this is what you're going to miss. And these are the bits that you're going to miss out on. But it was a,
you know what? That's a pretty good tactic as well. Yeah.
If they're leaking footage like that intentionally for that, then that is absolute chef's kiss.
Oh, marketing genius.
Well, this is Vince McMahon.
Sorry, Matt. I know they do things like that because I know Mason and I got to see Seth versus Dean in a cage. That wasn't shown at all. That was just one of those they put on afterwards. It's like, wow. Like, we get that for free. So, yeah, if they can, that's a great way to get the fans in. Hey, come and see the show. You get to see something extra that they're not going to see on TV. Or, well, I guess you can watch it on video later. But, yeah, I'm for that.
I can imagine that. I was at Raw in 2009, and I saw Cena vs. Edge for the WWE title at the dark match.
Oof. Nice.
Yeah. So that's that's the sort of thing you can get if you go to live TV for sure.
Live TV, especially with I remember watching. Oh God, what year was it? And it was the year when Edge and Undertaker was at WrestleMania. And then on the Revenge Tour they did Edge versus Undertaker in a 40-minute rematch for the title in a dark match. And it was probably, it was one of them where it rivaled the Cena versus Shawn Michaels one where Michaels and Cena had the WrestleMania match and then fought for an hour on Raw the next night. It was like that. It was like, oh, well, I think we got the better end of the stick. And I think, as I said, that video is going to get people to the shows.
It's genius.
I think they're lacking at the moment. They need something, bless them.
Well, to be fair, they're still getting sell-out crowds, but eventually that will start to tail off again because we're only a week into them being back. But you're right, this is a great way to get people reminded, like, hey, this is what you could be seeing, you don't see on TV. As you say, Paul, beautiful marketing genius.
Didn't they cancel the Atlanta show because of poor sales? I know they've had some marketing.
I don't know. I haven't seen all of it. No.
Okay. Now, for my moment, I think you might know the answer for one of these two, but I'm not sure if you know the second answer. So, number one trending on Twitter on Wednesday was to do with things wrestling related. Any ideas what those two stories would be?
Dynamite?
Nope.
Punk and Bryan?
That was one of them. The possible return of CM Punk. Not surprisingly, it had Twitter very excited. There was another reason that wrestling was trending number one on Twitter this week. And I have to admit, I can't remember if I was busy on Wednesday. I didn't see this until Thursday. Hashtag Faye Jackson trial. And did you happen to catch that at all, Matt? I know that you like Faye Jackson.
I do love Faye Jackson. That slipped under my radar, Graham, unfortunately.
It slipped under my radar. Like I said, I didn't find anything else until like Thursday, and I was kind of playing catch up on this one. So let me tell you the story then. This story goes back to the start of this, goes back to before Money in the Bank. And Miss Jackson promised nudes on Twitter if Big E won the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh,
so obviously we now know he did win that. And the response from Miss Jackson was to post some makeup that is called nudes, which did not go down very well with certain members on Twitter. Sugar Dunkerton called her out on this. And this was trending. This led up to a lot of back and forth, a lot of discussion. And actually, there was a trial set up. It was live on Twitch on Wednesday. I missed it because I had no idea what was going on about this at all. Sugar Tunkerton was one half of it. Big Swole actually represented Faye Jackson to defend her. And the verdict of the trial, spoiler alert if you want to go back and watch, she was found not guilty. Big E actually responded to this as well. Quote, unfortunately, I missed the hashtag Faye trial because of my 9:30 p.m. bedtime. Although at Faye Jackson 419 was somehow acquitted, I was asked to levy some measure of punishment. I hereby decree she sing Ruben Studdard's Sorry 2004 while donning a full clown outfit. I have no idea what that song is. Matt, I'm obviously too old for that. I'm going to say I listened to songs when it was on gramophones, as we talked about in a previous week. This just goes to show you, I guess, say, for people that don't know Faye Jackson, she's actually a retired wrestler now, was prominent on the indie wrestling scene. Somebody who's very vocal, perhaps never got that booking she possibly deserved. The reason this is my good cop moment is let something like this evolve organically. This was obviously something that wasn't planned to be a number one trending story on Twitter. But I think this is sometimes why WWE goes a little too scripted. I think sometimes they have to let things just, hey, try it. See what goes on. All that stuff that happened with Stone Cold, that wasn't planned. That was just one of those things, and then they let it go and go. Now they seem to rein things back. Fantastic moment. I love that everybody ran with this. So many people on Twitter got involved with this. I love that all the wrestlers kind of jumped in on it. It became something that was very fun. That's what I love about wrestling when they do that. I do think, and I wasn't sure if perhaps so many people had it, some of you might have this for your speed check moment, but kind of Nikki winning the Raw title. That just came by so quickly. That superhero character, the way that just, they just ran with that. It was something they tried. It worked. I like that type of stuff. So, yeah, less scripted. Let's try a few more things in wrestling. Let's get something different. That's my good cop moment for the week.
That's brilliant. Best ride did land as well, by the way. Right, Graham, I think it's speed check time.
It is speed check time, and I am not prepared. I did not set my timer to 1 minute, so I'm just going to talk while I do it. So this is where we get an additional minute if there is anything else that kind of caught our eye, perhaps some shorter moments. Paul, if there is anything else you would like to talk about, you have 1 minute.
Okay, the first thing has to be the debut of URWE this week on Victory Music Magazine. Gotta be. Also, it's Darby Allin and Ethan Page from Fyter Fest 1. Probably one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. And they also did the non-WWE thing to have the casket with the guy in at the end. So it smashed right through and you could see he was still in there. But yes, also, make sure you check out at One Electric Mag for the debut of URWE Wrestling, where there's going to be interviews with the first wrestler, Limbana Hopes, who's debuting on URWE, and there's going to be lots of new exclusive things.
That is two time, perfectly. And probably the first time we've ever had someone put a plug in the Good Cop Moment of the Week round. That is brilliant. I love it.
If you're going to get the chance to promote, then absolutely, you promote
absolutely,
away.
Absolutely, you promote away, buddy, sure.
If you missed it, catch the end of the podcast. We're going to do it one more time there as well.
Heck yes.
All right, Matt, what you got?
Okay, happy I've been proven wrong about Cross and Joe. I like Regal being beat up to make a point. No More Words is back for Jeff Hardy's music for the crowd. Like Jeff Hardy heel turn, perhaps? Paul Heyman humming John Cena's theme song. I quite like that as well. Finn Balor and Sami Zayn. Great match they had on SmackDown. Showcased everything in Zayn's repertoire. It was brilliant. Baron Corbin's website last week was real. Check it out. It's offline due to lack of funds. Rolling Loud Festival in Miami Garden matches between Gable and Dawkins and Belair and Carmella. Very unique feeling. They don't want it all the time, but it was a fun thing this week and weeks ago. And Edge's promo with Seth Rollins, the intensity that was involved was great. Taking the historical stuff from 2014 and using it now. 7 years in the making, this one.
Very good. Oops. All right, and for my minute, I'm just going to go back and talk about some things you talked about earlier, Matt. Yeah, I was really impressed with Roman's promo skills, much better than what they were 2 years ago. With Finn in the ring, very good. Once again, Nikki A.S.H. winning Money in the Bank, the women's title. I've enjoyed watching that story over Sunday night and the Monday night. The MGB team, we got to see our first live wrestling in Virginia in about 500 days yesterday. That will be out on Monday. I'll do my little plug right now. And we got to see Rhett Titus become the new UEW champion from Ring of Honor. Got to chat with him as well. Really nice guy. Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross, as you referenced as well. I think I might get to see my match, Matt, and it might be quicker than I thought it was going to be. So I'm excited for that. And the last one I want to talk about, I saved this one for the end. This wasn't even the match. This was something that was happening outside of the ring. And I want to see this match now. Orange Cassidy, Sting. Sting delivers the little kick to him. They trade moves. Oh, my gosh. It was absolutely brilliant. I want to see more right now.
You'll get to see it when Sting defends the AEW World Championship against him, Graham.
I will happily lose that bet that I have with you if I get to see Orange Cassidy versus Sting.
Oof, that's a lot of good stuff there, Graham, isn't there?
There is. You know what that means, though, right? It means we've got to go talk about the bad. All right, let's bring on those bad cop moments.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good! Bad!
We have to do it, unfortunately. If we talk about the positive, it won't be good cop, bad cop. We got to talk about the bad cop as well. Paul, what is your main bad cop moment of the night?
It has to be Goldberg. That's as much as I can put on that. Goldberg is one of them who, yes, in his day, people wanted to watch him. Not that much, but they wanted to watch him. And he had his streak and he had his everything. But now he's too old. He can't go anymore. The only way he's going to go is if it's going to be a 1 minute match and he's going to win it. So all I can see is bad in it because, yes, you bring back John Cena because you want the live crowds.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you've already got. Instead of bringing back Goldberg, who I don't think the majority of people that I saw on Twitter talking about it, it was negative. It was, where's Brock Lesnar over Goldberg? Don't want to see this. Comes out and he stands next to Bobby Lashley and I think, I don't want to see this. Because he's either going to mean the burial of Bobby Lashley or Goldberg losing and he's going to blow out like he normally does and not be able to wrestle for too long. So that was definitely the bad cop moment for me.
And I would agree with what you're saying. In terms of people on Twitter, very negative response to it. From what I'm hearing, or from what it sounds like the play is on this, this is what the main WWE fans want. We got to remember, we're a very niche group. We actually talk about wrestling, not just at the water cooler. We talk about it in our spare time as well. We devote a lot of time to talking about wrestling. The average fan who casually tunes in on Mondays and Fridays, I think still they think, and it sounds like that's the emphasis behind this, that brings the fans into the seats, though. They want to see the Goldberg. They want to go, when they go to that event, they want to see somebody they recognize again. And he's still classed as a big name in that sense. I did see one story where there was a talk about, well, yeah, you let Goldberg win, but then Big E can come and cash in straight away. And that's how you get the title off Lashley that way as well. So if it, perhaps it's just if he does win it, I'm hoping it's not something long-term with him. I would hope that somebody like a Big E perhaps could come in and relieve him of that title pretty quickly. But yeah, I'm not personally very excited about it either, I have to admit. But I was okay with the promo he cut. when he stands next to Bobby Lashley. I was okay with it. I thought he did everything he needed to do for the first part, but I agree, the match is not going to be long if they have a match. Anything over 5 minutes would be a shocker.
Let me take you back, before I start my back comment, Graham, let me take you back 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
When Goldberg screamed in Brock Lesnar's face, "You're last!" But 5 years on, he's wrestled 10 people since then. This is the part where the last bit was Goldberg. Seriously. I've Paul's got a lot of very good points regarding this. As do you, Graham, when we, as the, quote, diehards, aren't really bothered about Goldberg being back. But this adds a lot of credence to Bobby Lashley, because Bobby Lashley is quashing Goldberg. That's huge. Obviously, Goldberg's a name. Obviously, in WWE, you're only as old as you as they say you are, to be fair. There's no way that Undertaker would be AJ Styles in a graveyard for real. There's no way that would happen in a real fight. There's no way on this earth that you would be seeing the Fabulous Moolah many years ago beating Ivory at top of her game for the Women's Championship. It happened. Because you're in this bubble where anything can happen. Especially I think anything can happen. You're in a world where Sting, who is 62 years old, is taking part in matches he should have no place taking part in. And then you've got Goldberg. Oh dear. Big E is going to be the one that cashes in on Bobby Lashley. Because it's been written too beautifully not to be. The way he destroyed Kofi Kingston, it's designed to be this way for Big E. But Big E's not going to do it as a surprise. He's gonna say, "I'm going to cash this in on you, and I'm going to kick your ass." Because we've seen the surprise thing done a million times. The announced one, we haven't seen that for years. I want to see that happen with Bobby Ashley and Big E. I'd pay money to watch those two go at it for 25, 30 minutes. I'd pay for that. Goldberg, it's got to be 5 minutes or less. It has to be, because as Paul said, you can't do long matches with Goldberg. We found this one out in the Saudi Arabia with Undertaker. Lesnar vs. Goldberg, WrestleMania 20, 25 minutes, stunk the place up. WrestleMania 33, 4 minutes, 55 seconds, one of the best matches on the card.
I think you need that variation in matches anyway. Like I've talked about this before. You don't want every match to be 25, 30 minutes. I think it's good to get that flashbang mullet match in as well. So if it's only 5 minutes, good. You have the fireworks, the literal fireworks, and then you have the fireworks in the ring, and then boom, straight next match. I have no problem with that.
And with Lashley, the build as well. It's all about the build. It's like back to the WrestleMania match between Cena and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
That was the build on John Cena's part, and he built that so well throughout the weeks. And then he turns up on the night, he sits in the audience, he ain't coming, he gets in the ring, the lights go out, he lasts, what, two and a half minutes each, I think it was. It was somewhere around the 2.5 minute mark. He beats, he books out, and not one person went, "Oh, that stunk the place out," because of the build and the way it's done. Unfortunately for Goldberg, yes, he had the Lesnar match and it lasted 4 minutes and it was good and it was okay. I was like, okay, you've done it. But then look what he did to Kevin Owens. Look what he did to The Fiend. Look what he did when he fought The Undertaker at Saudi Arabia. And it's like, he's not that wrestler anymore. Yes, he's a name, but you can use him in other ways rather than have him in matches for the championship, because it's either going to be he looks old at the end of it, or he takes a championship off somebody who could do with keeping it. Yes, if it's the money, the way we've said it, and it's going to be cashing the money in the bank, fair play. That's the way to do it. But if it's not, then it's a bad decision all round, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm waiting to see on that one. Who knows? Maybe Big E will carry it long. The briefcase seems to be very quickly got out of the way nowadays. That honestly carried a bit of time, perhaps. And to answer your question, 2 minutes, 45 seconds. I was watching it just the other day. I can actually lead from that straight into my bad comment of the week, Graham, actually, because yeah, I want Big E winning Money in the Bank.
Oh, Wow, I didn't see that coming.
I have no problem
for a big dramatic pause.
I have no problem with Big E winning Money in the Bank. My problem with it is, why did it take 16 years and 24 Money in the Bank ladder matches for a black man to win it? I mean, it shouldn't matter. But the fact of the matter is that it didn't occur to me. Like, well, it's a big deal still. I mean, I look back through, and even in the women's Money in the Bank ladder matches, they've only had non-black people win them. Not intentionally. I'm pretty sure that it was okay that we're pushing that person at the moment sort of thing, down that sort of things. It just feel a little bit, I feel a bit, looking back, I'm like, well, why didn't they push them? But maybe I'm reading too much into it, perhaps. It's more a case of, I'm glad he is, I just wish it had been sooner. And so it's more of a twisted bad cop.
Isn't it more because he was part of the New Day, though? So obviously there was New Day storyline, so if you're going to keep them together as a group, you can't have a singles run at the same time.
No, but...
And there was actually Kofi's story at WrestleMania as well, where we were there.
We were indeed, Graham, but there's other times where there have been other black superstars in these matches. Mark Henry, you had MVP, you had Shelton Benjamin.
I thought you were talking Big E specifically.
No, I'm talking about in general. Talking about superstars who have been phenomenal, world championship worthy for one another. They didn't. And that's a little bit what I feel like WWE's trying to rectify in recent times. That's why I think like Apollo Crews with the Intercontinental Championship. Why you see Bobby Lashley with the WWE Championship. You're starting to see a lot more people across the board. It's a lot more multiracial now across all the titles, as it should be. It shouldn't be based on the colours of your skin. But unfortunately, some people will still see it that way. And hopefully now we can start to show that things are going better. I don't know if it's going across right or not. I think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Cool. I know we kind of talked Money in the Bank earlier, Paul, but any thoughts on the men's side then?
I think it was... I believe that Big E winning it was one of those where I think it was a good decision. I was glad that he's got it now, and hopefully he can do, if he does something with it and they build a new big star out of him and they actually do something with it, then that's okay. But if it's one of them where Vince McMahon changed his mind at the final minute and then goes, oh, he's going to be another one to lose it because we're bringing somebody else back, or he's just cannon fodder for somebody like some of the others, then it's like, it's a bit like the Bobby, you put the title on Bobby Lashley, what did he, look at him a year before that and all the time before that, and you were letting him lose? You've not built him, and now, so I just hope that they build a new star out of this rather than use him as somebody, I can just take it off him.
My main bad cop moment of the week was really, Matt, I kind of had to do it like you did. Really, it was something I had for a good cop, but I had way too much good cop stuff this week, so I had to twist it around. Having mentioned it in my speed cop moment, Orange Cassidy versus Sting, I quickly realized, I was like, well, I thought that was brilliant. The crowd certainly really seemed to like it. What did people on Twitter think? Not that that's the be all and end all. Here's some of my bad cop moments. At Max777S, I'm ashamed of at Sting for doing this, Stephen Borden. You're better than this. At Jman30179, oh, God damn it. Not Sting too. Jesus. I'd like to be able to continue watching wrestling, but shit like this ruins it for me. Somebody else, wow, I was a huge Sting fan. Was. Why would you do that garbage at Sting? Breaking news, the people who love this kind of shit love this kind of shit. Also, laughing at every single thing that can happen is not the same as having an actual sense of humor. I could have quoted thousands of people, I think, in the end. There was a lot of people who had comments about what they thought about it. And I thought it was pretty sad. I thought it was a fun moment. It only took about 30 seconds. It was a nice break in that match. I thought it fitted in perfectly. It shows Orange Cassidy. It, like you said, we know Sting is in his 60s. He's not going to be wrestling forever. It didn't put him in any danger or anything. I think that could be a really fun match down the line. And, yeah, thankfully people did call it out. How are people getting mad at this? A fun 30-second spot. Every time Cassidy does this, the fans dig it. And seeing Sting get involved only makes it better. People really have to stop tearing wrestling apart. The fans are the issue, not the companies. Somebody else, whoever doesn't find humor in this, your life must be pretty boring. The crowd loves it. And somebody said, I was in the crowd and confirm everybody was loving this and smiling. Somebody sarcastically put, is that even safe for television? Those two will never be the same after that exchange. And the last one, somebody said, I'm sorry, but this is hilarious. I don't think there's anything wrong with having some fun, even though I'm sure this now puts Sting on Corny's shit list. I would think that would be a good cop moment if you can actually get Jim Cornette wound up. Take it for what it is. It was a little bit of fun. Hey, what was the problem with that at all? Bad cop moment. Once again, the fans overreacting to something that was only a few seconds long. Uh-oh. Yeah. Please come in and get me.
That's a bad cop out and about, Graham. Yeah. Jim Cornette is not the barometer everyone thinks he is. No matter who you are. It's frustrating. I'm not the biggest AEW fan, as everyone's aware. But come on. I mean, Sting is a superstar. Even though he shouldn't be in the ring anymore, he should be just, like, you know, there to give the rub to the next generation. That's it. But he's winning matches, so go figure. He's giving that rub to Orange Cassidy. Not that OC needs it particularly. He's one of the most over people in the history of wrestling, it feels like. And I still feel privileged of having fist bumped him before call to do so.
Well, people on the indie scene knew it was, but yeah, so perhaps mainstream wrestling didn't know.
Yeah. I need to actually, because Paul was talking about Bobby Lashley. I want to quickly check something, and I just did. You were saying about building Lashley up, Paul, weren't you?
Yes.
I'll have a quick check. Bobby Lashley won at WrestleMania this year, of course. WrestleMania 37, of course. Opening match of night one. That was his first win at WrestleMania since WrestleMania 23. Granted, he's only been back for 4 years. But he lost WrestleMania 35. He lost WrestleMania 36.
The main thing is his win-loss record on Raw.
It's terrible.
I know he's part of the Hurt Business and stuff like that, but he wasn't winning a lot of matches.
Mm.
And it's like, you put how old is he? 40, 44? Something like that. In his 40s. And you've got a guy who's
45 right now.
You've now all of a sudden decided to build him, and he's not a guy who I want to see the title on him.
Deserves it, but
he deserves. Of course, he does, because he had a bad run his first time round, and he deserves to get that like event status. But they didn't build him in the first place. They didn't get enough run to go, this guy's somebody who's important to us. We want him to win the belt. I didn't feel like when he won it, I just thought, okay, so somebody else has won it. Who's going to take it off him? Rather than, I can't wait to see him fight this person or him fight this person. Like, I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing this and this match and this match. And I just think they just didn't build him right.
Unfortunately, you're right. Unfortunately, hopefully now they can actually fix that. Right.
Hold on, I got a quick report, Matt. I think it says that the police are out there looking for a chef who had bad takes on crisp sandwiches.
I'll deal with that in the bonus footage.
Oh, okay. All right, perfect. All right, let's move on to the speed check moment then. We have an up to a minute if there is anything else that we would like to talk about that is negative this week. Paul, take it away.
I think negative in wrestling this week is, well, I've already mentioned it a little bit, is just older wrestlers being brought back to get fans in. I don't believe that it's something, especially in WWE, it's not something that should be done anymore. Because I believe you've got enough wrestlers in the back, like Kevin Owens, Nakamura, and all those people who are sitting there waiting for their big matches and waiting to, well, probably waiting to go to AEW, to be honest. Because the problem is they've seen Cena and everybody come back in and they're not getting there. And I think that's just ruining. And AEW are going the opposite. Yes, we've got the Danielson, but they've got Darby Allin, Hangman Adam Page. They're doing it the right way and bringing the fans in that way.
Now, I got to ask you, though. All right, I'm kind of doing devil's advocate a little early here. Does that mean that you don't want to see The Rock come back and face perhaps somebody like a Roman Reigns at the next WrestleMania?
I think the problem is yes, The Rock's a big star. Yes, it'd be something you'd want to see. But why do you see him fight Roman Reigns fight somebody who's already on the roster? The reason why is because they're not building the wrestlers enough for me to want to see that.
Mm.
It's like, yes, I'd like to see The Rock and I'd like to see him come back and make an appearance. But where's when he disappears and you haven't got The Undertaker anymore, Stone Cold's not going to be able to come in the ring anymore, mm-hmm. Cena's, he's 50, 60 years old, he ain't coming in the ring anymore. Who from today is coming? Who's going to be there? Who's going to be The Rock in 20 years' time to come into the ring and go, we're going to see these older stars from 20, 30 years ago? From the crop we've got now, there's going to be nobody to go, I need to see that person. I need to go and buy a ticket.
Jeff Hardy, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Jeff Hardy's in his 30s.
He's in his 40s. He's 44.
People in their 30s right now when they're in 20 years' time.
He's still wrestling in Asia, Graham.
Jeff Hardy at 65? I think you're wrong.
He won't be doing Swanton Bombs, but he'll be wrestling still. But Paul makes a point, yeah.
All right, Matt, what you got for your minute?
Okay, Michael Cole calling the Blue Thunder Bomb by Sami Zayn and Michinoku Driver. They aren't even close to being similar. Kevin Dunn, stop changing your camera angles every second. You're going to give someone a seizure. Last week it was Edge. This week it was Drew McIntyre. Renaming the Storm Zero to Storm One. Really? Why? Pat McAfee, you've grown on me, but get your facts right, please. Rey Mysterio wasn't flying around in WWE in 2001. He didn't debut till July of 2002. William Regal looked like he was fine on the NXT UK promo with Triple H and HBK, which ruins storyline build. And Dragunov vs. Volta 2 is going to be at TakeOver 36, not on WWE UK pay-per-view. And let me check my notes here. Jay White is still a bag of dicks.
Shout out to @NishGuy as well for that one. I got a problem with Michael Cole as well, very quickly. He's saying coup de grace again. Like, I thought we'd done with that. I thought everybody knew by now it was a coup de grace, but what you gonna do, eh? All right, for my minute, I want to talk about one person two times. Now, I haven't had a chance to go and check to see if this is still true. At the Gleet Muter, Larry Albright, why is Velveteen Dream still listed on the Performance Center site? His name is listed. There's an empty picture space, and it said something like coming soon. So, not quite sure what's going on there. We know people are coming back. Like, we've seen Zelina Vega return after being let go, so not sure on that. SWF Live, LLC, at SWF Live. The Trifecta are happy to announce the formerly known as Velveteen Dream will be making his first wrestling appearance since his departure from WWE at September 11th at the Toms River YMCA. You're not allowed to comment on that post. I wonder why they did that. Huh. They've stopped people actually commenting on that. And I'm going to throw a bonus one in because I saw this for the Wrestle Witch. Her friend Josh is going to be appearing on the NXT tournament coming up soon. Briggs. Just about in time. I couldn't remember his last name, so I just had to say Josh for a second.
That's fair enough.
Weird about Velveteen Dream, though. Still appearing on the Performance Center website. I haven't had a chance to check if it was still true.
He's mentioned in Kushida's promo thing about him. He's talking about him wrestling like the Velveteen Dream, etc. That's all I can find about it so far, but I'm only glancing at it. So.
Okay, yeah. It was one that I saw, but the real one was the fact that I saw he was returning.
Oh, hang on. I'm scrolling through now, so bear with me one moment. Because if he's on there, that's going to be controversial for sure.
Oh, very controversial. But yeah, the first thing I found was actually the fact that he was returning to wrestling for this SWF company. And then I saw that story later and I was like, oh, okay, I can just tag it in there and just use it as my bad. I didn't really have much bad cop moments this week, to be honest. It was, like I said, I had to kind of do like you did. I had to twist a good cop moment. Most of the things I saw this week, I really enjoyed. Matt, this will be a shocker for you, but I actually watched some of Raw this week as well. I probably watched about 30 minutes of Raw, and I even made the effort to watch about 30 minutes of SmackDown last night as well. So that tells you that the product is definitely better, in my opinion. All right, if you don't find anything, I say you would just leave it, and then you can always give us an update next week. How about that?
It is still there.
That's it. Coming soon. Yep. I know this is for the benefit of the podcast, because it's an audio format. Matt showing me the picture. It has that thing where it has the blank picture, but it says coming soon.
I think they might have took his picture down, to be fair. To be fair, his Twitter is still offline.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's good. Let me stay that way.
Yep. All right, let's say we go and do some fan cop moments, Matt, and see what we actually missed from our listeners on Twitter.
Let's do it.
Good! Bad!
Hello, everybody. This is Micah from the Devoid brand. Now, we aren't just a wrestling podcast. We also have the titular, specifically Devoid podcast, our game show that's sweeping across the globe, Devoid Entertainment, and many other select programming you can only find on specifically Devoid. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, specifically Devoid, and follow us on Twitter at Devoid Podcast. That's capital D, capital P, to stay up to date on all things Devoid. I've been me, you've been you, and we'll see you later.
Good! Bad!
All right, fan cop moments. Let's see what our listeners, what they had to chip in for this one. Matt, I'm going to start off with Chris_BFC_, who just put CM Punk 35 times in a row. He didn't say whether that was a good cop moment or a bad cop moment, though, so I guess we'll just have to guess.
We'll guess for that one. I'm going to go to at Dying Format, Mega Pellegrini. Best cop moment, Nick Gage in AEW, also live crowds are back. Worst cop moment, too much wrestling over the past week has burnt me out.
And I feel really bad. I know Micah told me that Nick Gage was on, and I can't remember what I said, but I was definitely swearing in excitement about it, and I totally forgot to include that in my... there was a lot of stuff to put on Good Cop this moment, but yeah, the entrance was awesome. Can't wait. Matt, I even took a quick look on StubHub, how much were tickets in Charlotte. Charlotte's about 6 hours away from me. I did think about it for a short while. The WrestleWitch did put hashtag fuck Elgin. I'm assuming that's a bad cop moment.
Yes.
I haven't seen any developments on that story, I have to admit.
Bad enough as it is. I'm going to go to high five time, but five with the number, not spelt out. Great cop moment, meeting at the Res Index at Warrior, and finding out we have mutual friends at View from the Top Rope, hashtag synergy. Hashtag worst cop, with the piece of shit that put in a fake bid for Pete Dunne's charity and claimed it was a fake bid for a fake sport.
Story, but yeah, that's definitely a bad cop.
Whoever you are out there, if you didn't hear this, unsubscribe, never listen to us again.
I'm pretty sure they don't listen to us. He did ask if he could put in a bonus moment, and I said he could. Hashtag amazing cop moment from High Five Tom. The Bucks winning the NBA title after a 50-year drought. For not only the Bucks, but for the Milwaukee's Big Four sports. Hashtag grown man cried.
Absolutely. Right. I've just clicked one button. Hang on, bear with me a second. There we go. At BFRJCB, that's JCB from Band from Rings, of course, has a good cop moment, Slammiversary with all its surprises. Man in the Bank, arguably the WWE pay-per-view of the year. AEW gaining steam towards a huge all-out card. NJPW Wrestle Grand Slam this weekend. Bad cop moment, Keith Lee losing his return match. And Cross losing due to reported Vince anger. Keith Lee being back, we didn't mention that, of course. I think that he had a great match against Bobby Lashley, to be fair.
I'm glad we didn't go too much detail into Karrion Kross, because I want to talk about you that in the bonus material, to be honest, Matt. Cool. Bishop at TW Takes Podcast. Best cop moment. Cena is solidified in the Mount Rushmore. He is just different and perfect at the art form. And worst cop moment. Even after a year alone in the house, live crowds love to hear themselves. What?
What?
What? I did ask View from the Top Rope, like, what things are they not going to miss after? And actually, we didn't include this in the bad cop moment either. People chanting for Becky at the start of the Charlotte Rhea match either, at Money in the Bank. I thought that was definitely a bad cop moment.
Everyone knew Becky was going to be there, that's why. That's when you
decide... You can do it after the match is finished or at some other point. Don't do it just as they're coming out. It's very disrespectful to those two refs.
Pizza people are afraid of seeing Charlotte, that's why. Right, at Cherry Jerry, heel Cherry Jerry, that is. Worst cop moment, Thunder Rosa's serious loss in the family.
I didn't hear that story.
I missed it as well, unfortunately, but condolences. And best cop moment, Jackie Chan to AEW confirmed.
I did click on the link and I did take a look at that video. I had to see what that one was. At Just In Time 211, best cop moment, Nick Gage on AEW. Yes, definitely. Money in the Bank, John Cena returning, Slammiversary, Nikki Ash winning the Women's Championship. These just sound like good cop moments. Some people just don't know what best actually means, do they, Matt? And worst cop moment, Monday to Wednesday going 0-3 on good shows. There's some okay moments, but not enough to make the entirety of the shows good. I did ask for clarification what the shows were. So it was Raw, NXT, and AEW Dynamite.
Yes.
We'll agree to disagree on that one, Justin.
No, I do have to agree with him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't acknowledge the dark elevation because they're not on TV.
You agree that it was 0-3?
No, I agree about which ones were important.
Okay, okay. Just want to check what you're agreeing on.
Okay, at SciPal, SGP Words, best cop, all the Impact, AAA, AEW, New Japan crossovers. Amazing stuff, huge popularity going forward. Worst cop, people moan about Cena and Goldberg returning. Don't like it, don't watch it. Simple.
Yeah.
I get points.
Yeah, I didn't see any more, Matt, so unless you've got anything else, I think that'll wrap it up for this round.
I'm going to check because there are some spin-offs. I feel like quickly.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult to pick up on those.
Yeah, I've got
Twitter organized.
I'm diving through them as best I can. So give me a few moments and I will be there, Greg.
There's going to be a lot. This podcast, if we still did titles, it'll be called Matt Scrolling Through Twitter.
Shut up.
All right, that does it for this week. Once again, thank you to everyone who contributed. First of all, telling us about sometimes stories we just missed and we just didn't see. I sometimes like to find out, hey, what did I not catch up on? And then go and look at those. So we certainly appreciate that. And we'll put the post out again next week for anyone who wants to take part.
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found, and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, time to break up that wrestling talk a little bit with something non-wrestling related. We always give our guests the opportunity to talk about something that's on their mind or something they've been thinking about this week. So, Paul, what would you like to talk about in your open agenda for us?
Well, I'd like to talk about... Now, we're going to go mildly serious here, but I'll try and put something in there that's maybe put a couple of jokes in there somewhere to lighten it up a bit. But I'd like to know people who go through what they class as invisible illnesses. And you see people everywhere and you just automatically think that when you see them that there's nothing wrong with them and they just... You don't need to treat them in any different ways and there's nothing to... Because you can't see anything. And just young people means that they're healthy and things like that. And I think, well, I've got something called spondylosis, And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's basically you can get it when you're very old. Like most people in their life at some point will get it. And what it is it's the wearing of the discs in between your bones in your neck. And basically what happens is over time, and supposedly when you're older, they wear and it causes a lot of pain, because obviously then your bones are rubbing together and it causes nerve damage and various other things, complications. And I've had it now for about 26 years-ish. And it's got to the point now where I do talk to a lot of people on Twitter and various other things about these sorts of things, because I think I see a lot of people, and like when I used to go on golf a lot, and people used to go, well, he doesn't need to sit down because he's only young and he hasn't got anything wrong and things like that. Whereas like this time last week, I lost the feeling in my legs. And it was literally due to bones catching a nerve, which basically took the feeling in my legs. And I think it's one of them where I've never tried to say that I'm disabled. I've never claimed to be disabled. I don't want to be known as disabled. I've never tried to tell anyone, oh, I'm disabled. That's why I've started URWE and things like that, and it's to keep working because that's all I want to do. And I think I just kind of, I want to do something eventually. I don't know how it's going to tie in with the rest of it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but trying to highlight the fact that there are not just thousands, probably millions of people out there that have some form of hidden illness, small, big. And I think it's, one, you need to know that there's people out there that have these things. And two, you need to be open to the fact that people might want to talk about these things. Also, when you go to hospital, and if you're listening and you've got one of these hidden illnesses, be aware that doctors are also people who can't see these things. And they might miss them. And all you need to do is kind of just wait and speak to people about it and open up about it. Because the more people that know about these things, the less they become visible illnesses and more things that we're talking about and understand. And I just want to make sure that people know that those sorts of illnesses are okay to have. And even when there's stuff like what I've got, when you know that and it's not going away, you've still got a life and you've still got, I mean, I've got a partner and I've got six children, and you just live day to day and carry on there, and I'll still play football with them and I'll still do everything that I need to do, and just to live your life the best you can and just remember that there's loads of other people going through things like you, and to just carry on as best as you can.
I think that's a really important message that you said there. A relatable one from a friend that I have on Facebook who I went to school with, and I haven't seen them. I don't live in where I grew up anymore, but she currently has she has Crohn's disease. And I have to admit that was something that I wasn't familiar with at all. But when she talks about like some of the daily struggles, like sometimes certain days are worse than other days, it really kind of makes you aware of what that entails. So first of all, thank you. When you do that, when you talk to people about that, that helps people get a much better understanding about that. It helps other people to be aware of what other people are going through as well. And of course, one of the more obvious ones that thankfully is being talked about a lot more now, and we've talked about it several times, Matt, obviously the mental illnesses, they're definitely ones that are hidden as well. people with a whole range of different issues that people have. It's not something where you can physically see it. You're not going to see the bandage. You're not going to see the physical crutch. But obviously, that's still things that people have issues with on a daily basis as well. I think it just reminds you, just like everything else, it reminds you that you need to be kind to people at all times. You never know when people are having a bad day, whenever they're having something that you can't physically see. Just because you don't see those signs doesn't mean that it's not happening. Matt?
Absolutely. What Paul was referring to there, spondylosis, I feel for you, bro, because it's in the more narrow sense, it's osteoarthritis in the most narrow sense of what it is. And that's in my family. So at some point I'm going to get that. So I totally feel your pain. Unfortunately, quite literally. I can only echo everything that Graham has said on that one. I feel blessed to not have all of the effects of that sort of thing hitting me yet, thank goodness. Unfortunately, there are many people out there who have unseen injuries and so forth, and sometimes the scars are internal, not external, even as you were saying, as proven with the depression, especially with lockdowns and everything like that, depression, mental health and all that sort of stuff put on by the pandemic. Pandemic's done more to hit people with mental health and physical health as well. So absolutely, Paul, we fully endorse your message here. If you, and on a personal note, every time you talk, buddy, my DMs are always open.
Yeah, hey. I think it's one of, sorry, guys.
No, go ahead.
One of them things that I've even contemplated at one point putting into a storyline to do with what we're going to do at some point. Because I'm like, if I could find some way of adding it in and kind of introducing that conversation, things like that, through what we're doing.
Bringing awareness to it, not a bad idea.
Halloween. I don't necessarily know what yet or how we're going to do it, but if I can fit it in depression or anxiety or anything like that, to introduce it into a setting like this is something that they don't often do a lot of. And I think it's okay to say that. It's okay. It'd be okay if one of the wrestlers tomorrow come out and went, I got this illness, or they instantly spoke about it, because it's like, that's okay. And it also brings it to a wider audience. And hopefully I can do that in the future to bring some sort of light onto things that people go through every day.
I've had a great idea, personally. Yeah. I've had a great idea. And if I can help with that at all, buddy, just let us know.
Thank you, mate.
Good! Bad!
Hey, Magsy, do you think people listening to this show like wrestling podcasts?
I would hope that they do, because they're listening to one.
Do you think they would like our wrestling podcast? This is Cy and Mags from the Chain Wrestling Podcast. You can find us at Chain_Wrestling on Twitter. Quite proud of our little show that we do. It seems to make a few people giggle. What do you reckon, Mags?
Yep, if that sounds like your cup of tea, go and check out our content on Visionaries Global Media.
This is always the hardest transition when we go from our serious moments to our jokey moments, but I think we would never not want to do those serious moments as well, Matt. I know that we muck around a lot on this show, but we also like to give those voices too, just to remind us about those serious issues as well, so I'm glad that we got to do that again this week. But let's go to the last section of our show, the Devil's Advocate. Matt, for the benefit of the good cop, bad cop lawyers, go ahead, give us your spiel, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others who identify as others, myself and Graham, and our guest today, who is Paul, will now take this opportunity to fire devil's advocate at each other for 20 seconds, where we must defend a statement that is wrestling-based, which we do not believe in, and we must defend it as if it is the truth. We do not agree with it, and in case anyone wants to sue us for libel, please send all of your complaints to @TexasGentleman_.
All right. Come on, you're in charge of this round, Matt.
So, Paul, as the guest, you get to choose. Do you want to deliver a devil's advocate first or receive a devil's advocate first?
I will deliver one first.
Okay, do you want to deliver to myself or Graham?
Let's go with Graham. You've got to talk about how good WWE are at pushing their female talent.
Absolutely. They can be a little slow in doing this, but you got to look at NXT. You take the people who were on there, like the original crowd, like you take your Sashas, you take your Charlottes, you take all the horsewomen. Look at how they've progressed. Within that 5 or 6 years, they became from basically nobodies into champions, and we talk about them continually. They're always at the top, and I think they've done a good job of doing it.
That was phenomenal work.
That wasn't bad. If it wasn't for that, though, I think I might have been struggling.
If I'd have said the Divas, then you'd have had an issue.
Oh, one word could have changed that whole Devil's Advocate into something.
Oh, that was phenomenal, sir.
I couldn't remember Becky Lynch's name for some reason. I was like, oh my gosh. The 22nd.
Oh, very good, sir.
Festival at times, but
that is a first class Devil's Advocate given, sir. That's perfect. Vague enough, but difficult at the same time. Love your work.
All right, I guess we've got to return the favor then. So, Paul, I had this written down last week and I forgot to use it. So I'm going to give you this one. I would like you to defend the statement made from @VoicesWrestling on Twitter. And their statement is, there isn't a single likable person on Raw or SmackDown.
I believe that WWE makes sure that there are likable people by using older talent like your Randy Orton's to build the other stars that they've already got. And I think that WWE will always use the older talent to keep that going.
Hi.
Not bad.
I thought it was a little bit of a controversial statement. I think I can think of more than one person that's likable on the why is that person even watching that show if they really think that?
If you don't like it, don't watch it. Just
Even if you don't like an organization, I find it very unlikely that you don't like at least one person.
I'm not a big fan of AEW, but I still love Orange Cassidy. I still love Chris Statlander.
Of course.
Right then, what's your one for me then, sir?
Your one is you have to defend David Arquette being WCW champion.
David Arquette being WCW champion was a crucial thing in WCW history because at the time he was promoting a movie, and that's the only reason he was there in the first place. Forget about the fact that he'd gone on to become a deathmatch wrestler, wrestling Nick fucking Gage. But the fact of the matter is that he actually was WWE champion, and he was a more credible champion than Vince fucking Russo.
Nicely done. Nice.
That was a softball. I like that one.
I could have added a couple of things as well. The fact that he didn't take any money for any of that as well. Like, he gave that all to charity. The fact that he turned it down. He's like, no, I don't want to be the champion. He's like, that's ridiculous. But in wrestling, you've got a job and they tell you that's your job, you have to do it whether you agree with it or not. But yeah, even he knew that it wasn't a good idea to put him over as champion. But got to do what you got to do, I guess. All right, Matt, what you got for Paul?
I have to kind of do... I have to say in advance, sorry. Paul, your devil's advocate is as follows. Defend this statement. Comic books about wrestling are stupid.
Comic books and wrestling go very well together because you get drama from the pictures and from the words. That storyline to the people in the world not done on TV.
I got to call a timeout on that. I got to call a timeout on this one. All right, right now, Paul, you're giving the opposite though. You've got to defend what Matt's saying. You've got to agree that they're stupid.
Okay.
Even though you don't agree with it, you have to.
Stupid because you're taking two very good things and trying to mix them together, and he just doesn't work.
We'll take that.
That's a pretty good response, actually. I take that.
But yeah, I can't let you off the hook that easily, Paul. I gotta make you defend.
It's not supposed to be something you agree with. No, it worked quite well.
It's not. Matt, I know you said you have the perfect devil's advocate for me. Does that mean that you would like to deliver yours first?
Nope.
All right, you want to go second? Well, I was a little concerned because I wasn't sure if you'd know what this is in reference to, but thankfully you mentioned it in one of your segments earlier, so this will be just fine. Matt, your devil's advocate is, with Storm Zero becoming Storm One as it's evolved, WWE needs to lay off the complicated maths. Its fans can't cope with that level of complexity. I certainly know that I can't.
Absolutely. Adding one to zero makes one. That is exactly the sort of level that WWE is aiming at. Maths, and you said the right thing for a start, it's not math, it's maths, people, to an S at the end. That is the most important thing you're doing here. F5 because it's a hurricane? No. This is much easier. Storm Zero plus one is Storm One.
I think you missed the whole devil's advocate. I said it needs to lay off the complicated math. You said that was simple math. You took the opposite of what I said.
I misunderstood you. Sorry. Okay. Right. Okay. Your devil's advocate.
Go on. Give me the perfect devil's advocate then. I know you're very proud of this.
I'm very proud of this one, but it does need some setup, so bear with me. I'm happy seeing a man being portrayed as down on his luck, desperate for money, being mugged on live TV.
Well, obviously, wrestling takes things that are in popular culture and gives them a context. So wrestling is the perfect forum for this. You take those things, you highlight those issues, like we talked about in the open agenda section. You want to make things like that be out there so people can understand them. What a better way to do that than put out your favorite wrestling characters there so they can tell a story involving those storylines?
That's pretty good.
Did something happen with Corbin on SmackDown? I guess I missed it.
Baron Corbin was given several hundred dollars by Kevin Owens. Shotzi's tank then hit Corbin in the unmentionable, shall we say?
The doodle?
Yeah. And he fell to the ground, and the dirty dog, Ziggler and Rude, then mugged Corbin.
Oh, my goodness. I did not see that part. I just saw a few highlights, but I didn't see that one. So
that was on the highlight package. I thought, that's brilliant. It's too good for a bad cop moment. I'm putting that in me devil's advocate. That's bad. I'm sorry. Justifying a mugging? I'm sorry. It's not done like, don't stream being mugged. They're turning Corbin face, for heaven's sake.
You've just shown that Ziggler's heel, though, so it kind of makes sense in that sense. Yeah, like, what's more heelish than mugging somebody?
Yeah, but Kevin Owens then ran on, saw him run off for money, and did nothing.
Ah, okay.
They didn't portray it right.
Side of it, but I had enough that I could talk for 20 minutes and bluff my way through it. That's it for this show. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Once again,
tell us everything about where we can find you on social media. Tell us about the magazine. Just remind everybody where it's coming out, where you can find it, and anything else that you would like to promote one more time for us.
Okay. It's URWE Wrestling, and you can find it on Twitter at official URWE. We premiere on Electric Music Magazine, which you can find at One Electric Mag on Twitter. We premiere on the 27th of July, and you can see an exclusive interview with Limbana Hopes, who's the first signee for URWE. Plus, there's going to be a lot of exclusives. And also, on the Twitter currently, every time we reach 100 followers, every 100 followers, we reveal something new about the company. So every 100 followers, we reveal exclusive wrestlers in the company and new things that you can see and ways that fans can get involved.
I like it. Everybody go follow UWRE straight away. And then we can get that next announcement so we can find out who the next wrestler is. And let's keep it going.
And of course, if you're lazy about that, Graham will put all of that information down in the description, of course, for you.
I will. And I realised I said the letters in the wrong order as well. It's
you. You did.
As soon as I said it, I was like, that's the wrong
way. Don't take it personally, Paul. You can't even get GCBC the right way around half the time. Thank you again, Paul. It's been an absolute joy and a privilege having you on. We can't wait to have you back on later in the year. Graham, you and me are back next week. Thank you for listening, guys. We're out of here.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/